Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Operation Sindoor, a demonstration of synergy between India's armed forces. The participants are Lieutenant General Satish Dua, former Chief of Integrated Defence Staff, and Nishit Kumar, anchor.
In the age of multi-domain warfare, where threats evolve faster than borders, India's national security architecture has demonstrated the strength of jointness and strategic foresight. Operation Sindoor, initiated on May 7, 2025, in the aftermath of Pahalgam terror attack, showcased a calibrated tri-services response that embodied precision, professionalism, and purpose. And to discuss more on it, we are privileged to have been joined by former Chief of Integrated Defense Staff, Lieutenant General Satish Dua. General Dua, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Nishit, and Jai Hind, everybody.
General Dua, Operation Sindoor was unprecedented in many respects, which not just caught Pakistan's defense establishment and terror outfits napping, but also served a strong statement of India's intent and purpose of zero tolerance towards terrorism in every form to the entire world. Your comments on that?
I could not have put it better, Nishit. You summarized it. Because on one hand, we caught Pakistan, I would say, unaware or lacking. On the other hand, India displayed a very strong political will to take the risk and a very strong military capability to execute the political aims set out by the leadership for the military. In that, let me just expand in one or two sentences to say that the leadership had announced, Prime Minister had himself announced that we will go after not only the terrorists but also their backers, even if they are across the borders. And we did exactly that. We struck at those terror headquarters, terror hubs, and terrorist bases across the border, not only in POK, but deep inside, in Punjab, in different areas, far from the border as well. But we struck only at the terror hubs, not at the military installations, not at civilian centers. So I think initially we achieved total surprise and dominance. But when Pakistan decided to react and respond with different weapon systems and drones, drone swarm was sent in. Our integrated air defense system was able to destroy all the missiles, drones, all the platforms used against India. They attacked several civilian installations, several military bases. So in the first wave, we managed to deny the enemy any satisfaction. When we attacked further, when they tried to attack some of our military installations, we attacked their air defense systems. And we were fairly successful. For example, Lahore air defense system was completely pulverized.
When we talk of this unprecedented Operation Sindoor, one aspect which punctuated the exercise was the robo-like seamless synergy between the tri-services. How huge and important it was during the entire operation?
The integration between the three services is increasingly gaining importance everywhere in the world, because today, the same platforms, the same radars, the same missiles are there with all the three services. So it is very important that we are able to integrate our target acquisition, our response mechanism, and do target designation as per requirement and capabilities. And to that extent, the present government has started a very concerted move to integrate the three services over the last decade. To that end, for the first time in India, Chief of Defense Staff was appointed with a mandate to integrate the three services and actually go move towards theater commands. General Bipin Rawat was the first, and after his tragic loss, General Anil Chauhan is presently Chief of Defense Staff carrying forward that mandate. So the integration of the three services is important to ensure to make our combat potential more effective. So I am very happy to see that our integrated air defense system has proved to be very effective, and it has been combat tested during these 4 days of Operation Sindoor.
Right. So General Dua, talking of synergy and integration between the tri-services, is this a very novel concept, or other advanced military powers have been practicing it, and for how long?
The concept is not novel. In fact, many countries realized the importance of integration right after World War II. And since then, countries have been working towards it. Now, militaries all over the world have a very conservative and different kind of a view. Hence, it has not been easy to have integration. But the United States took the first lead, and then all the Western countries. And today, more than 66 countries in the world have integrated defense forces. In fact, all the major militaries in the world have integrated structures. I would say India is late to join the bandwagon. We started only with the present government taking the impetus a little over a decade ago, taking the initiative a little more than a decade ago. And since then, we have been making constant progress, one of which I just said that earlier, a chief of defense staff was not appointed. Now, we've had two chief of defense staff, the present one being the second. We are moving towards integration in a slow, cautious manner. The last thing I want to tell to the listeners is that it is very important for us to move slowly, because we don't want to unbalance ourselves militarily. We must remember that we have two active borders, one with the LOC with Pakistan and LAC with China. So we cannot sort of unbalance our defensive or offensive posture, our military capable posture, while achieving this integration. And that is why it's a very carefully considered and a cautious process moving forward.
So the coherence and unison between the Army, Air Force and Navy was on optimal display in Operation Sindoor. Now, if you go back in time, as you mentioned earlier as well, where do you see the idea germinate and take concrete shape, starting with, the creation of the position of the Chief of the Defense Staff, CDS, Department of Military Affairs?
The idea itself originated after World War II. And as soon as India gained independence, we got specialists actually came from Great Britain, from UK, to give us those structures. It started in 1945-46, just before our independence itself. But we, instead of integrating the defense services, we formed different kind of structures of having committees to create integration between the three services. That worked well, but it proved their own sort of shortcomings that came to fore. Then 1971 India-Pakistan war was the first example of excellent tri-services synergy, but it was more personality-oriented than structure-driven. Ever since then, we have started this process, especially after the Kargil Review Committee in 1999, substantive steps were taken. The integrated structures were formed and headquarter integrated defense staff was raised. As you mentioned, I retired as chief of the headquarters of Integrated Defense Staff. So many such structures, the Andaman Nicobar Command, the Strategic Forces Command, and many other structures and training establishments came up in 2001 onwards, consequent to Kargil Review Committee. And government took these steps, but we still did not appoint a chief of defense staff, a very vital link or a cog, a step to be taken to integrate the three structures. Ever since he was appointed over the last 5-6 years, during this time, our integration has grown. And this is the first time that it has been combat tested. It has been tested in an operation where the integrated air defense cover proved to be infallible in defending our assets and in striking at enemy assets, at enemy military, first at the terror infrastructure, as I already discussed, and thereafter in response to enemy provocation, this destruction of selected air bases and air defense assets of Pakistan. Our integrated structures have proven their worth.
Right. So, General Dua, taking a step forward in this direction, the Joint Logistics Node, JLNs, have been established in Mumbai, Guwahati and Port Blair for logistic integration between the three services. Please tell us more about the same.
Traditionally and conventionally, all the three services have their own logistic supply chains. But it is more cost effective and efficient to have integrated logistic nodes. For example, the three names that you took. Now, if you take Port Blair, I have served there for 3 years myself, nearly three decades ago. And I have seen how seamlessly the Army, Navy and Air Force work there. And especially, as I mentioned, after 2001, Andaman and Nicobar Command was converted into a tri-services structure. So the logistic node there is infructuous to have Army having its own supplies, whether it is for ammunition or for rations or fuel, and Air Force and Navy having their separate chains. It is very cost effective, also more efficient to have an integrated logistic node. And that is what, in fact, that was the first joint logistic node that came up in Port Blair. And I have seen it firsthand. Initially, there are some teething troubles because we have different inventory numbers, cat part numbers. We use different terminologies. Our networks, our inventory control managements are different. But once we have to put our minds to it, we decide to make it work. New software is written, better systems are used, and we learn each other's terminologies. So thereafter, we find that it is more efficient. Things are available in a better manner. And it certainly, at the expense of reputation, it is very cost effective, which bodes very well for a developing country like India. And similar is the case with the other two nodes at Mumbai and Guwahati, which have started a few years after Port Blair.
So, General Dua, the government has also established the Integrated Theater Commands, or ITCs, and Integrated Battle Groups, that is IBGs. And now they aim mostly to optimize operational preparedness by combining the Army, Navy, and Air Force capabilities based on geography and, of course, the function. How are they going to help in unifying the three forces in times of crisis and even otherwise?
So, Nishit, there are two different terminologies, two names that you took. Both are very different from each other. Let me explain that too for the listeners. Integrated battle groups are purely army-based.
Okay.
That is to say that there would be a battle group which has all the components that are required in combat. They would be placed under one commander, but they are all army-based. What actually happens is that those assets are allocated to the commander when an operation starts or when hostilities break out. So what we have done is to cut down on time. Integrated battle groups have been created during peacetime so that they train together and they can function together better. And there is no loss of time to launch them in battle because they are already allocated and under a particular command. So those are integrated battle groups. They are at a lower level.
Right.
They are at the level of a division or so.
Okay.
Now coming to theater commands, which you said.
Yes.
Theater commands, which are based on geography, as you rightly said, are much, much bigger. And they are tri-services, but they are work in progress. It hasn't yet happened, but that's what the CDS, the Chief of Defense Staff, has been mandated. General Bipin Rawat earlier, and now General Anil Chauhan are working towards that. And that would entail that the elements of all three services would be under one theater commander.
Mm-hmm.
That theater commander would not have to look over his shoulders. For example, when you require airstrikes, the fighter aircrafts, the aircraft radars, everything is with him. If he has to use the naval component, the naval components of the warships or their radars and missiles are already placed under him. And so are the land forces component. So he doesn't have to look over the shoulder for getting these assets allocated from Army, Navy, or Air Headquarters. He has them. But it also increases his responsibility and accountability. As to your point about they being geographically based, yes, they are likely to be three major theater commands, one facing each adversary, one for China, one for Pakistan, and one for the peninsular or the maritime dimension. So they would bring in better, again, it would enhance the combat potential on one hand, it would cut down the time of allocation of resources, and it would also prove to be very cost effective by integrating these structures. And that, like I said, is on the anvil. It is happening soon.
All right.
But the last sentence I'd say on this is that during this, pending that actualization or realization of the theater commands, during Operation Sindoor, all three services worked with perfect synergy with each other. And even the politico-military synergy was there to see. And we could see it, the meetings that were high-level meetings that were being held, the operational meetings that were not shown to others, but that took place behind the scenes. All that resulted in perfect synergy between all the assets that were used in combat.
Thank you so very much, General Dua, for having joined us and shed light on the demonstration of synergy and integration between India's armed forces. Thank you so very much, sir.
Thank you, Nishit, and Jai Hind, everybody.
You were listening to a discussion on Operation Sindoor, a demonstration of synergy between India's armed forces. The participants were Lieutenant General Satish Dua, former Chief of Integrated Defense Staff, and Nishit Kumar Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.